Record and we are ready to go.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome to Institute tonight. Very nice to see you. We have a guest, my friend Mark McDonald back there. He wanted to come to class with us, so that's why he's sitting back there. Nobody scary. I know he looks kind of FBI, CIA-ish. He's a nice man. So very good. Any announcements? Anybody got anything going on you'd like to make public to the rest of us? Anything going on?
During the break, we went apple picking this week. There's only 7 apples. Vivian's already spoken for 1.
But there's 4 bananas.
What's that?
We did not go banana picking, but we do have
bananas. We do bananas, that's right. They were not freshly picked. And there's also some salsa.
Ooh.
With chips and salsa for during the break. So that's my answer.
Nice.
Nice.
General Conference is coming up this weekend. I hope that everyone will participate in General Conference.
And for the first time, it's going to, priesthood session is going to be on the internet.
Yes.
Wow. Just so you know.
So, watch it that way. This is something I put together for the seminary students, but I thought, maybe I'll show it to you also. Maybe you'll play with it with your kids or something. I don't know. But it's really corny. It's how to learn the names of the first presidency and the quorum of the 12. And so I'm not going to run through it all, but you can just kind of see like how it works. Is it rhymes the, well, you'll see. Oh, that's the quiz.
Sticks. Sticks rhymes with sticks. What kind of sticks are these? Well, they're pool sticks. Now, another name for pool is billiards. Billiards, at least to me, sounds kind of like Ballard. Six sticks. Billiard sticks or pool sticks. Six.
Anyway, so you can do that on your own. Okay? But I actually, my home teacher taught me the first presidency and Quorum of the 12 taught me their names that way, where we rhymed words with numbers. And you could ask me, anybody, like, who's 10? 10 men, angry men. Angry men beat you up, they give you rings around your eyes, eye ring. President eye ring is number 10 in order of seniority. If you're wondering, what does that mean? What's seniority? Watch the video.
What happens if they die? Then you might go up to 9. You can't do that.
9, spine.
No, but if someone dies, then he's not 10 anymore.
Well, I know. I've had to redo this a few times.
He's trying to work it in, yeah.
But, yeah, so it's,
yeah. You pray for their health. I now know
exactly.
What you pray for their health.
Yeah, so anyway, we're not going to go over it in class, but it's there on the website if you want to. If you want to play with that, just a little conference prep for you, okay? If you have not yet, please use your laptop, your phone, your whatever device it is that you are using, and go log your reading results, if you would, real fast, okay? And then I'll log in my 7, and we'll see how we're doing.
I know, this is, you're blowing me over here.
Is this through Adobe?
No, it's WordPress. It's a blogging app.
Just impressed.
But yeah, I had to use Photoshop and things to be nice. Okay. Let's see how we're doing. Alright, look at that. That's pretty good. Pretty good. So keep it up with your reading. Looks like the majority of us are getting 7 days a week. If we're not quite getting there, it's okay. Just keep working on it, all right? Every day is a new day. If you are reading as much as you'd like to, keep it up. If you're not, just say, okay, I missed it today, but tomorrow I'm going to get it. Or if there's still minutes left in the day, then just read today, all right? Start with one wimpy verse and move up from there, okay? It's never too late to get started with that. Okay, those are all my announcements. Got the reading done. Everything from you. Right. Nobody else has anything else? Yes?
I'd like to share my experience at the Relief Society broadcast.
Can we have an opening prayer and then you share your experience?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Thank you. Let's see. Vivian prayed. Rolando prayed. Angelica?
Not here.
Not here. Olivia, will you pray for us tonight? Is that okay? Thanks.
Help us understand more about the Book of Mormon. We are to pass this by that, ability to understand and
much, Olivia. Candace, please.
So, remember we had last week we talked about
patriarchal blessings?
Mm-hmm. The great stuff. The patriarch was at the Relief Society dinner that we had.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to, like, the guy, maybe it was just me, but he had a type of spirit about himself. It probably was because his teeth were, like, awesomely white.
I mean, they like, only call no, patriarchs white
teeth. No, like,
they are
light white.
Okay.
Seriously, it's weird. And he just had a gleam in his eyes. It was just, like, really awesome. And, I mean, like, all jokes aside, it made me, like, try to schedule an appointment. But I didn't because, of course, everything else stopped me from doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just wanted to say it was so weird because he talked about it. He says it's something that should be done. You know, you have to do it. It was after listening to him, I was like, oh, okay. So I think I'm going to go ahead and do it now because I wasn't really going to do it. Because I was afraid of learning or knowing what this person was going to tell me, like a psychic or something. But I'm really excited now. So it was. I think you jinxed it. Because as soon as you talked about it, we seen him like a few days after, 2 days after. It's really weird.
I know there's this grand conspiracy in the universe. His name is God. His name is God. He cares about you. Well, awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? Any experiences spiritually related that you'd like to share before we get going? Lucky, any questions that anyone came up with from your scripture reading?
Any questions that we have?
She already asked it once. Yeah. It's your turn.
We were wondering how old Joseph Smith was.
Okay.
And how far in his education he was.
Awesome. All right. Anybody want to take a crack at that one? How old was Joseph Smith when he was translating the Book of Mormon? What was his education like? Anybody want to take a crack?
I would say his early 20s.
Early 20s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you wanted to find that answer on your own and you didn't want to have to ask me, where would be a good place to go?
LDS.org.
LDS.org would be a good one.
Or Google.
Careful, but yes.
I know. We just learned about this in other lessons. Don't trust Google.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anywhere in the scriptures you could go particularly? Yeah, Doctrine and Covenants. That would help you out. There are lots of revelations that would give you kind of the timeline of when the Book of Mormon translation process is going on. I would suggest going to Joseph Smith History at the back of your Pearl of Great Price. And that gives you lots of... You could figure out, like, okay, he was born in this year. Okay, we know that the Book of Mormon is published in this year. Start to do some of the math. We know he was roughly 14 in 1820 when the first vision happened. So you could do that. As far as his education, though, that's something that may be more difficult to discern. Just knowing what we do about the culture that he was growing up in and the area, you know, Northeast America. I'm surprised at the amount of education they were able to receive, but because Joseph's family was relatively poor, he had to keep going to work instead of going to school. And so our best estimates are roughly a third or fourth grade education when he's working on the Book of Mormon. So, great question. Okay, very good. Candace, follow up?
We thought it was pretty important. It was pretty cool that God gave him this ability and he barely knew anything.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that was pretty awesome. Almost like Nephi. But, I mean, Nephi didn't have to learn anything. He just threw it on him. So that was pretty awesome.
We're going to learn some neat things about Joseph tonight, so thanks for asking that question. That was super, it goes right into what we're talking about tonight. Olivia, you had one?
Yeah, it was more like obedience and humility.
Right.
Rather, it was more like obedience, because he, like, Heavenly Father, if he'll give or tell to somebody else, like, he will do his will. Because if we remember at the beginning, when he is in the introduction, where it says, Heavenly Father tells Joseph Smith that he has to be careful with the weights.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was more like a build of identity.
All right. I was talking about this with one of my other institute classes. Were the Lord to need me to translate an ancient record, I don't think I could do it. I think I have too much going on up here to where maybe I would try to take everything I know about world history and maybe it wouldn't come out as pure as the Lord is able to do with Joseph Smith. I don't know. What it is one, it furthers my witness of Joseph Smith as a prophet. I mean, my favorite book in the universe, third grade education. You kidding me? But also, like you were talking about, the humility of a man willing to just do the Lord's will. So grateful for the prophet Joseph. Good comments. Anybody else? Anything you'd like to share before we get going?
The video. The one you posted on it was an hour and a half video on YouTube.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah. So I did, and in the end, I was telling Candace, in the end, they land.
Do you know what they're talking about? This was the video that talks about the possible route that they would have taken on the Arabian Peninsula. Now, as far as Book of Mormon geography goes, I don't get like, well, here's Zarahemla, but we do know something about the Arabian Peninsula, so that's why I posted that video. Anyway, keep going.
Yeah, so I just figured out that they landed somewhere between Guatemala and El Salvador.
You think so?
I'm sorry?
Think so?
Well, I mean, that's what it said.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't sure about that. So yeah. I found that it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
but
don't...
I mean, they weren't sure, though. Is there any record that they... Where they actually
yeah, and Joseph never really said much, and we haven't had subsequent prophets who have said, this is where the Book of Mormon events take place. Mm-hmm. So if anybody tries to tell you, this is where it is, you can say, Brother Joe told me. we just don't really know. So people have lots of theories, but they're just that, they're theories. Don't feel like you have to believe any of them. Okay? But glad you watched. Was it enjoyable? Did you like that?
Yeah, like the beginning was I was like, okay, this is getting better. So I continue.
All right, well, good. Anybody else? Yeah, Wanda.
Before I say my question, I have to say this. I'm currently writing, and I like to learn about as many cultures as I can so I can incorporate or maybe even make new cultures in the books. And I was looking into the Native American one, and they were talking about a tree of life and how supposedly all the people will gather under the tree of life, mm-hmm. all people of different colors. And I remembered, in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon, we have a tree of life also. Are they connected? Could they be the same thing?
You know, and this is the interesting thing, that when you find... So if God is the source of truth, and he's sharing it with the Native Americans, and he's sharing it with the Chinese, and he's sharing it with Indians, meaning, you know, people from India, not American Indians, which is real... Anyway, don't get me into that. And he's sharing it with the Europeans. Well, if the source is the same, do you think maybe the message might be the same? The the Church History Museum, they had the Church Art Museum, I can't remember which one it was, but they had a whole, what do you call that when museums put on their
exhibition?
Exhibition, yeah, that's the word. A whole exhibition on Tree of Life imagery throughout the cultures of the world. And I think it's God giving his message through that particular symbol to lots of his children. So I think there's a connection. There are probably some, you know, university professors and whatnot that would disagree with me, but I choose to see God's hand in those similar symbols. So what are you writing?
It's more than one book. It really depends on what it is.
Okay.
One of them is Mars is colonated, and Mars is literally covered in a fake atmosphere. Nuclear power plant is set at the center to keep the planet alive, and a new genesis has to be born on that planet.
So you're really going for like...
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
The second one is from the same world as that one, but it's Earth.
Uh-huh.
After massive disasters, which is the reason that Mars was...
Colonated, yeah,
but
yeah.
People aren't living on Mars. It's just been restarted.
Okay.
Like a genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Man is created in the 70th year of this.
Wow.
So I wanted to go, you know, like, the steps of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
But in this one, it has no connection to the Bible. It's just a completely desecrated world where genetic engineering has gone completely rampant because man has literally decided to give up on morality itself.
Wow.
And now 95% of all life has gone away.
Uh-huh.
Some of it is still alive, but mostly the vermin have evolved and genetically engineered animals have taken over also. and plants.
So you say it doesn't have anything connected with the Bible, but my guess is your religious symbolism will creep in.
There is some religious
symbolism.
It'll
happen. It'll happen. Well, when you have a working copy, I'd be interested in taking a look at it.
No problem.
I'd really like that. All right. Anybody else? All right. Let's jump in. Grab your scriptures. 2 Nephi, chapter 1. So last week we talked lots about dreams. We talked lots about how, you know, the whole trek, walking around the wilderness. They launched their ship there from the land, from Bountiful. Eventually they get over to the New World. 2 Nephi, chapter 1. At this point, I think Lehi is starting to figure out, I'm getting old. I'm not going to be around a whole lot longer. And so what we have in 2 Nephi chapters 1, 2, 3, and part of chapter 4 are Lehi's last words to his family. Okay? This is a sensitive question, and I understand if no one wants to respond to it. But has anybody had experience with a loved one dying and that loved one wanting to share last words with you? Not yet. Thank goodness. Okay, Fashion, you've had that experience before. Don't tell me what they said unless you feel comfortable doing so. Did you listen? Okay. Did it just break your heart? That'd be rough, wouldn't it? Very, very sensitive times for our families. I can remember we were on vacation in San Diego. My dad was a missionary in San Diego, and he was very excited about bringing his family to his mission and showing us around. And so we were there in San Diego. I was newly married. My wife was pregnant with our first child. We were having a great time, and all of a sudden we find out that my father's mother passed away. And I was just so grateful that everyone in our family, we found out that she was sick, most likely with that she was going to pass away in a few days. And we didn't care that we had spent so much money on a hotel reservation or that it was just, you drop everything and you go. And my little brothers and sisters at the time were still quite young, and they didn't care that we weren't going to go to Disneyland. They wanted to be with Grandma. And it tends to be that when someone is about to depart life, hopefully we treat those moments as sacred. And you can tell that Lehi is taking this very serious. So let's look at what Lehi's words, the last words are to his family, okay? 2 Nephi, chapter 1, chapter heading. Andy, will you read that chapter heading for us? Lehi prophesies.
Lehi prophesies of the land of liberty. His seed shall be scattered and smitten if they reject the Holy One of Israel. He exhorts his sons to put on armor of righteousness.
Thank you very much. Lehi starts talking there in verses 1 and 2. He's speaking to his family. Verse 2, he spake unto them concerning their rebellions upon the waters. That's something hopefully you picked up in your reading because we didn't have time to talk about it. But Laman and Lemuel, some of the sons and daughters of Ishmael, they rebel against Nephi. He says, watch out for that. Verse 4, he says, behold, I have seen a vision in which I know that Jerusalem is destroyed. And had we remained in Jerusalem, we should also have perished. Now, do we know? Did indeed Jerusalem get destroyed? You bet. Roughly 580 BC, Babylon comes in from the east. They come in, they sack Jerusalem, they carried off Daniel. Maybe some of you guys have kids. Have you seen the VeggieTales, Rakshak and Benny? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Anyway, it's a great one. You need to watch it if you haven't seen it. But they carry off some of the young aristocrats from Jerusalem there to Babylon. We know it's an historical fact. So Lehi, he gets that one right. And he says, verse 5, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise. Turn the page over. Verse 7, wherefore this land is consecrated. What does that mean for something to be consecrated? Where have you heard that word before? If something is consecrated, or we consecrate something. That's okay.
Is it like to dilute or something like that?
Okay, to dilute? Possibly. That's probably a definition I'm just not familiar with. No, it's okay. It's okay.
Oil.
Okay, you're thinking consecrated oil. How many of you had anything like that come to mind? Consecrated is not a word that we usually use, right? But consecrated oil, so what kind of oil is it there for?
Blessing.
Yeah, we use it for blessings. When something is consecrated, it is made sacred. Does that make sense? I mean, I could break it up into its Latin roots, but it just means to make something sacred or to set something apart for a sacred purpose. So they get over to the Promised Land. Thank you, Lucky, for indicating. We know it's somewhere here on the American continent, right? This land is a sacred land. It's set apart for a sacred purpose. Any idea what that purpose might be? Keep that one in your mind, because Lehi has something to say about that. All right? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to break up the... Oh, Saeli, did you want to say something?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
For the restoration, I think that's
fine. Think that's it?
I think it's
thank you for saying... Yeah, I think you're right. One of the biggest. A land where religious freedom would be upheld. There were not many places in the world where this could have happened. Not only do we have as a setting for the Book of Mormon, but for the coming forth of the Book of Mormon, the restoration as well. Pretty important. Now, Lehi has some very specific things to say about this consecrated land. Here's how I want to do it, okay? Matt, you're on this team. Londo, you're on this team. Okay? This team, I want you to get together. I'll gather around Chris back there. Chris, wave your hand. Okay, go gather around Chris. And I want all of you to read verses 7 through 11. And I want you to look for blessings of obedience. Okay? I'll write that up here on the board.
Yay,
you get the positive part of this, okay? Oh, so I want you to look for the blessings that come through obedience. When you find one, send that person to come up and write it up here on the board. Okay? This side of the room, you are looking for... cursings of disobedience.
Same verses.
Yep, 7 through 11. Okay? Looking for blessings, looking for cursings. When you find something, please grab a marker. And, oh, and you guys all get to gather around... Yes. You can all gather around Vivian because we don't want to make her move. Okay?
Amen. Blessings over here. You guys are getting owned. Looks like America's first so far.
Lack of prosperity. Sorry,
it is personal.
Captivity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did we do it last drive?
No, we stopped at 11.
Oh,
we stopped at 11?
Yeah.
Yes.
7
to
11.
That's fine.
Well, wait, 11 is pretty loaded. Did you check that one? 11?
I think I heard it so much.
Okay. Yeah, the blessings is he'll give on.
Okay.
Taking away the
blessings.
All
right.
Giving other nations the power.
Giving other nations the power of.
Well, it's taking
no,
away
just
their
power.
Power.
So,
it's
yeah.
them,
so
it's
taking
it's
away
a
the power.
To other nations,
opposite.
It's a to the
yeah.
So taking away.
Taking away the power from them and giving it to others.
So giving.
All right, time's up.
No,
time's up. Time's up. I counted off 90 seconds in my head. That's it.
Really?
Yeah, we're done. You guys win. Okay.
So who wrote the blue stuff on there?
That's Matt.
Yeah.
He's very smart, right?
That was great.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we're not going to go through, and you just read these, and you can see on the board that if they are righteous, then they get all of these things, and if they are not righteous, then it's just how it goes. So, difference between the two. As you read that, what do the people need to do to qualify for this and avoid all of that?
Obey the commandments.
Oh, what?
Obey the commandments.
That's it?
Well,
yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
How are we doing? I live on the American continent. How would you say the American continent, meaning either North and South America, we're just taking the whole, okay? We're taking like the Western Hemisphere, okay? How are we doing? You getting a little nervous? Now, Candace, you brought up patriarchal blessings. Mm-hmm. In my scriptures, I have written out to the side, next to verses 7 through 9, I have written out to the side right here, America's patriarchal blessing. Now, that's not official. You probably won't hear that anywhere else. But as I read through these verses, I thought, here is Lehi, a prophet whose family is sent specifically to the American continent, making a prophecy about the land. And those who are willing to fear God and abide His commandments, they have wonderful blessings promised. I think it's wonderful that usually, where does it say that from time to time the Lord has brought people over? Which verse is that where He talks about people coming over? Verse 6, wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there shall none come into this land, save they shall be brought by the hand of the Lord. Which peoples can you think of that have been brought to America for religious reasons? Okay, just about all of them, right? Pilgrims? Check. Nephites? Check. We're going to find out about the Amalekites here in a little while. Check. Jaredites? Check. My own ancestors? Check. This is a land of spiritual freedom. It's a land where people can make decisions based on their own agency and not have anyone standing over them saying, believe or we're going to kill you. Now, I served a mission in Germany where that happened over in Europe quite a bit. The churches would buddy up with the government, and they would use church and religion and faith as a political tool to overwhelm people to think a particular way and to do things in a certain way. And it was very difficult for me as a missionary over there because people would often think, oh, religion? I don't want to talk about that. Do you know how many dumb things have been done in the name of religion over here? You don't want to hear anything about that from you. It was very difficult. But I'm very thankful for a place where the Lord set up so that people could have knowledge regarding the Lord, where we can exercise freedom of will, where we can take agency, which is what we fought for in the war in heaven, and express it to either follow God or to choose not to follow Him. We're going to talk a lot about that in 2 Nephi chapter 2. Anybody want to say anything else about these things, or maybe what, you know, the American continent means to you, or how you can see the hand of the Lord in the coming forth of a place where the gospel could be restored? I'm not saying you have to have a comment, but if anybody's just like, oh, I just got to share this. I just love America. Yeah, Olivia.
Something that I really like from the scripture, when I was in the mission, we have a lot of Cubans there, and they don't have the gospel in Cuba. And sometimes they don't know why they're here, and I was applying the scripture to them. But well, you're here not just because you need to work, but just because you need money.
Where was your mission?
In Louisville.
In Louisville, okay.
And I applied the scripture to them because I really felt like it's something that you have to hear the gospel. It's not just because you really want to come to the United States. Because in this country, you're free to have the gospel in your life. And I'm like, you know. And they were like, oh, yeah. And I think it makes sense for me and for other people.
Yeah. How did they react to that? Could they see
they
themselves?
They really love the scripture.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm here because of purpose. Yeah, you're here. Heavenly Father loves you. And that's the only way. And they were like, oh, okay.
How about you? What does that verse do for you? Wow, the Nephites and Olivia. That's great. Thank you. I shouldn't say just the Nephites. There's Nephites and Lamanites and Olivia. So, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else before we move on? I don't want to step on your spiritual toes. If anybody has something that you're kind of feeling that Holy Ghost kicking the pants to share. All right. Let's move on from that. Verse 13. Lehi has just made this prophecy about the land. And then he looks at his sons, you know, a couple who have been pretty righteous, a couple who have been having issues, and he says, oh, that ye would awake, awake from a deep sleep. I always use that one with our early morning seminary kids. Yea, even from the sleep of hell, and shake off the awful chains by which ye are bound, which are the chains which bind the children of men. They are carried away captive down to the gulf, the eternal gulf of misery and woe. What do you think he's getting at there? Ando?
I think he's talking to Laman and Lemuel about their descendants. If they go onto the path of God, their children and their children's children won't be put into that kind of a situation in their lives. But sadly, they didn't, and it did end up happening.
Yeah, the Book of Mormon does. It talks like about the wrong traditions of their fathers. And that's something that always haunts me, is there anything that I'm doing with my family that would then cause them to somehow fall into this spiritual sleep, so to say, that will make it easier for the chains of hell to grab onto them. Thank you, very insightful. Candace?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Marila? Marila?
I love this scripture because it makes me think that every single sin or every single thing that I'm struggling with is a chain, and it's holding me on progression. So when I think of this scripture, it's like, okay, you need to straight up and get rid of all those chains, so in order that I can progress and I can move on.
Mm-hmm. What have you found in your life that has helped you get rid of those chains and to kind of wake up spiritually? What helps?
I don't know. It depends on what I'm struggling in that moment.
Okay.
But prayer is one of the things. It's helped me to forget of the things the worldly things that I want, obviously, in the world,
uh-huh.
but make me focus on what I would like to have in the future, and it helps me to develop that relationship to my God.
Yeah, I so agree. Prayer helps me focus too. Like when I find myself starting to be enticed by the things of the world, it is prayer, yeah, helps me focus. I shouldn't even talk because you said it so much better than I did. Yeah, thank you for sharing. Anybody else, how do you help kind of wake up from that spiritual sleep where you're not really thinking about the things of God? What gets you to wake up and to cast off those chains? Candace and then
so,
Vivian.
For some reason, you know, you don't think about
sometimes you're not aware that you're in a deep sleep, you know, until your trials and tribulations are so far, so deep on your lap that you have no choice but to break the chains, you know, because I look at it as just being buried with dirt all over my face, you know. Eventually you have to just be like, okay, and that's it. I found out that for me, going to church, having family home evening, what else? Anything that I can involve church into, it's awesome for me. I mean, like, I have a really rough week up until I know it's going to be Thursday. And I will do whatever. I was telling Lucky this. On Thursdays, I come here an hour early every Thursday. I sit in Starbucks, and I try to get my spirit together because of everything that has happened up until that point. I can actually sit in Starbucks, get my scriptures out. Luckily, I didn't follow the rules of doing my scriptures at home, so I try to catch up at Starbucks. But it's good because it gives me my spirit that I need to come in here and seem like I've been drinking cups and cups of coffee, but it's because I have that spirit almost ready to go. So, I mean, the scriptures, prayer, it all kind of plays into it, but I can say that church gathering and stuff like that makes it much better.
Aren't you grateful for the church for that way?
Well, being a convert, yes.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it feels like there's like, oh, there's always some church thing that you have to do.
No.
But when we're trying to, you know, like I like that metaphor, that you just feels like you're buried.
Yeah.
When you're trying to climb out, it's nice to have people there who want to help. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to dig out on their own. It's rough. Vivian.
Yeah. What helps me is past general conferences, like to listen to all the talks. Since I was inactive for,
eight. We'll go with
so
eight.
So I caught up to all of the general conferences.
Oh, wow.
So, like, whenever someone, like, says something, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Don't ask me who said it. What year. But I'm even going to 1970 because I love them. They're, like, the new scriptures, I'm going to say, but, you know.
Right.
It's better.
Uh-huh.
But I love them. And believe it or not, when I was going through the most difficult time of my life, whenever I would put a talk in the general conference, like, they were talking to me. One of my favorite ones was about the plane, and they were focused so much on little beamy light, and the plane went down.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of, like, shook me. Like, I'm so focused on this problem that's not really that big. I don't want my plane to go down, so that's when, you know, you start putting all of the things that they tell you to. Prayer, scripture reading, you know, family home evenings, you know, all of those things.
So what difference have you seen in your life? What difference have you seen since starting your general conference binge?
A lot. Like, you get a lot of knowledge, and your testimony does grow. Because, like, you know, sometimes you think that those small little miracles or blessings aren't there, but when you start listening to the general conference, and then you're like, wait, that happened to me too. But because, you know, sometimes you're not sowing the gospel, you don't realize the little blessings that there is in your life.
Yeah.
So then you become very grateful.
Uh-huh.
And for me, general conferences, and not only that, of course, but like being very active in the church, it has put me at a different, humbling. It's so humbling.
Yeah.
That some people are like, you're too nice. Well, what does that mean? No, I'm humble. You don't want me to go curse or, you know, stuff that. Or like, but it just, the humbleness in me has grown so much that it's just amazing. My testimony, everything has grown because of general comp. Because for me, they're like, come on, Vivian. Yeah, look at this. Hear this story, you know, and it's like, well, you know, what I'm going through is nothing compared to some of the stories that they do share in general conference. I love general conference, by the way.
I can tell.
I love general conference.
I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, but since you gave such a great plug for general conference, you're not the only one. You know who Pharrell is, the rapper?
Yes.
he tweeted a general conference line from President Uchtdorf.
My favorite speaker.
Because he talks about airplanes?
No, because he's awesome.
Because he has nice hair?
Yeah, like I love
the accent.
The accent.
The ex- oh my god, he's my favorite, you guys. When you hear him,
he's also Pharrell Williams is a Mormon?
He's not Mormon.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, he's, as far as I can tell, he's a very unlikely promoter of General Conference. I don't listen to his music. But you can see, I mean, it got 6,700 retweets and 3,000 people favorited a quote from President Uchtdorf from a rapper. That's not the only one. LL Cool J is quoting President Hinckley. How funny is this? Okay, when I heard this, I didn't believe it. So I went and checked with Twitter, and sure enough.
So do you have this, like, somewhere where I can show someone this?
Yeah, I'll put it on the website.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that funny?
Yes.
That is awesome.
Okay, look at this. It gets 3,000 retweets, 1,600 people like that one. One last one. P. Diddy. Puff Daddy himself. He's quoting L. Tom Perry.
Wait a minute. And he quote. He actually put the quote, like their name and everything.
Everything.
That's crazy.
Weird, huh? So, you never know.
Do you see they're all rappers?
And that's what he...
So,
I have
Rolando.
I have an example of that. I have a friend who really likes this one game, Fallout, and one of theirs is named Honest Hearts, after Brigham Young's Honest Hearts Produce Honest...
Oh, yeah. Huh.
I forgot the last part. Honest Hearts Produce Honest Actions?
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally based on that.
Oh, well, I tell you. I mean, when truth comes, people grab onto
it,
wherever they are.
And it really just
quotes
a lot of Book of Mormon and Bible scriptures.
Wild. Well, there you go. That's awesome. So, again, great shout-out for General Conference. If you find if you find yourself ever in kind of a spiritual... You find yourself spiritually asleep. Scriptures, words of the prophets. Great way to just kind of shake you, to be awake. Over to verse 21. Lehi says to his sons, specifically, so it's going to say sons, but this applies to daughters and women... He says, and now my soul, that my soul might have joy in you, and that my heart might leave this world with gladness because of you, that I might not be brought down with grief and sorrow to the grave. Arise from the dust, my sons or my daughters, and be men or women, and be determined in one mind and in one heart, united in all things, that ye may not come down into captivity. Verse 23, awake, put on the armor of righteousness, shake off the chains with which ye are bound, come forth out of obscurity and arise from the dust. Those would be great scriptures to memorize, to make cute if you're a girl. I can't make cute scripture things, but I know you ladies are really good at it. You know, put it on your fridge, quote on the mirror, you know, in your bathroom when you get ready. Just a reminder to, you're better than this. You're better than what the world tells you you are. Awake, arise, shake off the dust. Be men, be women, get out there and do something. Show the world where you really come from. It's not here. It's heaven. And you've got a bit of God in you. So don't let the world make you forget that. Wake up. Okay? Over to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is my favorite chapter in all scripture. That's why I'm going to try and not say much about it, because I get all, like, excited. I want to hear what you like from chapter 2. Okay? I know what I like about chapter 2, but I want to hear what you like from chapter 2 right after Lucky comes and helps me out with something. You sit in the front.
Sorry.
I know. Rolando told us a fun story, and Andy's busy.
I asked a question in the beginning of the class.
No, that's true. This is for you.
Okay. You. Should I go?
No.
Oh.
Stay here. This is a difficult question. You ready?
Okay.
I would like you to tell me the difference, the main difference between you and this fire extinguisher.
Definitely not this size.
Definitely not the size. She just cracked on her small stature. That was great. Definitely not the size.
No idea.
So you're saying you're pretty similar to a fire extinguisher?
I mean, no, but... It's a fire extinguisher.
And you are?
A human.
A human. Okay. So far we've got, like, vocabulary. But what's, like, the big difference between the fire extinguisher and you? There's no right answer, or wrong answer.
You know.
You want some help?
This is used for emergencies. And
well, you could be good in an emergency.
No. I'm the first one running out the door.
Okay, all right.
I know.
Can I help you out?
Yes, please.
Actually, let's let Lehi help you out. Grab your scriptures. Verse 14. I know we're skipping ahead, but we'll come back and pick up the other stuff.
14.
The world, it's become very popular ever since about the 1920s to like to blame external things for the choices that we make. I'm the way I am because of my parents. I'm the way I am because of where I grew up. I'm the way I am because of things that happened to me in my childhood. Now, there is some truth to that. But you are not fire extinguishers or cell phones or scriptures or paper or pens or keys. There is something vitally different about all of those things in you. Ready, Lucky? Verse 14, look for the difference. Lehi gives us two main categories in the universe. Go for it. Will you read it for us? Spanish is fine.
Ahora, y ahora bien, hijos míos, os hablo estas cosas para vuestro provecho e instrucción, porque hay un Dios, y Él ha creado todas las cosas, tanto en los cielos como en la tierra, y todo cuanto en ellos hay, tanto las cosas que actúan como aquellas sobre las que se actúan.
Thank you very much. I don't understand Spanish, and I just assume you're done. What are the two categories? Things to?
Correct.
And things to?
Act.
Which one's this?
To act upon.
Which one's lucky?
To act.
How do we sometimes act?
Upon.
So, let's use the example of General Conference, okay? How many of us, General Conference comes around, we sit there in front of the TV, and we're like, all right, President Monson, I dare you to make me laugh. Wiggle your ears or something. We want to be acted upon. We want to be forced to pay attention or forced to laugh or forced to something like that. No, we're not there to be acted upon. We are there to act. Okay? I love Andy over here. He's been acting the entire class period. He's just writing stuff down. Maybe he's making fun of me in his journal. Who knows? You have good reason to. I mean, right? Who knows? But anytime you can act, that helps us shake off those chains. That's my favorite message from 2 Nephi. What's yours? I'm going to give you 3 minutes. 3 minutes, I want you to just skim through 2 Nephi. I want you to look for things that don't make sense. I want you to look for good lines in 2 Nephi that you just think, oh, I just love that. Doctrines that are especially important to you. I'm going to give you 3 minutes. Go through and look for what are your favorite bits out of 2 Nephi chapter 2. Because this chapter is deep. All right? You've got 3 minutes. Ready, set, go. You don't have to start at the beginning. You've already read it, I assume, for class tonight, so... Two minutes. One minute. hopefully this is just a review. Seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. Okay, let's go, you three, let's give everyone a chance to share what it is that they found especially interesting there in 2 Nephi chapter 2. All right, go ahead. Share with each other. Oldest person goes first. Oldest person goes first.
I guess I'm the last one.
Yeah, mine, 27, and they are free to choose liberty and eternal life. For the great new world of all time, they choose captivity and death. Going to the captivity of all the devil, we see that all men are his grave.
Similar.
Done? The girls take forever.
So, I think that we kind of share our favorite part. My favorite part was 5, 7.
I was wondering that. I'm like, okay, he's gonna do something cool with it. And then with that, it's like, okay. I hope you didn't bring that from home. Anticlimactic.
Last year, I actually brought a big pumpkin. So the difference between you and a pumpkin. And it was round, and the person's like, are you saying something? So it's pretty funny. Try to finish up in 90 seconds. 90 seconds. Seconds. Ten seconds. Three, two, one. Okay, here's your chance. I don't want to hear what you said. I want to hear what you appreciated about what your neighbor said. Well, I was asking, like, oh, what do you... No, I want to hear what your neighbor thought about something. You cannot say what you said. I want to hear what your neighbor had to share about something. And if nobody raises their hand, then that means you don't like each other. So, or at least you don't think each other is smart. Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and knock
what,
it out.
What did Matt say?
Well, it's funny because we kind of shared kind of like the same thing.
Oh, so this is kind of what you said.
Yep.
Nice.
It's like the first.
Same thing with us.
Yeah.
He said... Act for yourself, or we act for ourselves,
uh-huh.
Or as in the book, act for themselves. Basically, he said that.
Which verse were you pointing? Were you looking at, Matt?
We were both kind of thinking about verse 5.
Okay. Why don't you read that for us, Matthew?
Okay. And men are instructed sufficiently that they know good from evil, that the law is given unto men, and by the law no flesh is justified. Or by the law men are cut off, yea, by the temporal law, or they were cut off, and also by the spiritual law, they perish, and that which is good becomes miserable.
What did Matt teach you about that, Candace?
That because we're all going to kind of sin.
Okay.
And stuff.
I'm going to give the big term for that, the fall. We're
okay.
All fallen, okay.
We all have a chance to act for ourselves and to, I guess, use free agency, right?
Uh-huh.
And that kind of goes down into verse 6. We have that ability to do so because of what Christ did for us, which is died on the cross, resurrected, and all that good stuff.
So we're fallen, and what would happen to us if we remained fallen?
We're stuck.
Yeah.
We're there. We're fallen. We're
no
failed.
Way out. You're stuck. Okay. But because of the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can act, and by use of our agency, what's the option? Where do we go from there?
Well, we have the right to choose and do. Good and live righteous.
And if we do that, then?
Well, we get to spend our eternal life.
Yeah.
Our Father.
Eternal life. Okay, awesome.
Thank you.
Both of you. I like your diagram, by the way. Thank you. It's awesome. Okay, Fashion, was that a hand? Who said it? Oh, you said it yourself? Oh, Chris and Olivia both did?
Yeah.
All right, what did they teach you?
Fifteen?
Okay, I'll read it real fast. Wherefore, the Lord God gave unto man that he could act for himself. Wherefore, man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by the one or the other. So in order for us to act, there had to be opposition. But I shouldn't be talking. You should. Sorry. That long one that's like, yeah, it's the good one. Like, if there was no law, there'd be no sin. If there was no sin, there'd be no righteousness.
I'm just cutting it short.
Yeah. And what did Chris teach you?
Basically,
because
you've been
in
the
true faith. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much. Anybody else? You don't want to let me get going because I won't stop. I promise. Keep going, Fashion.
But mine is number 15 and 16. But I like 15 because I
really do love it in this world and how we tear ourselves apart in this world. And number 1604. Tells us that we cannot really save ourselves. We have to put ourselves in the position to be saved.
Yeah, put yourself in the position to be saved. Now look back at, that reminds me of something that Lehi, so this is Lehi speaking to his son Jacob, and in verse 2 he says, nevertheless, Jacob, my firstborn in the wilderness, thou knowest the greatness of God, and he shall consecrate thine afflictions for thy gain. That's that whole opposition idea. That, yeah, we're going to go through hard things, but the Lord can turn those hard things into good things if we let him. Verse 3, wherefore, thy soul shall be blessed, and thou shalt dwell safely with thy brother Nephi, and thy days shall be spent in the service of thy God. Wherefore, I know that thou art redeemed. Why? Because of all the casseroles you baked? Because of all the merit badges you earned? Because of all the tithing you paid? Because of all the people you baptized? Why are we saved? What's it say there?
Because of the righteousness of thy Redeemer.
I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. Without him, you take this element out, my good works wouldn't even be possible. I couldn't do a thing. Jesus Christ both redeems me from my sins and enables me to do good things. It's because of him that salvation is even possible. I can't bake enough casseroles to get to heaven. I can't earn enough merit badges. I can't tell enough corny jokes. But because of him, I've got a shot. I've got a shot. Thank you, Fashion. Candace.
I have a question.
Sure.
Because I have a child and I'm trying to teach, I'm trying not to teach him about free agency.
I know what you mean.
I don't give my son a choice.
Uh-huh.
You know, he does not have a choice. He does not have a choice to do good or bad. He has a choice of good. That's what you have to do. So someone told me I was being too hard on my kid because I told him, you know, the pain that Jesus Christ went through. If I could tell everybody that, then maybe it won't feel so bad, or maybe the hurt won't, you know, you won't feel the hurt that he went through. Maybe we'll just be like, okay, if you do good, you don't have free agency. If you don't have free agency, then maybe it'll, I guess, maybe I'm saying it'll mean something, you know. So I tell my son, Christ laid on that cross for hours and hours of torture, and forget the cross, before that he was tortured, so... No, you don't have a choice, and it's funny because when I just told him this yesterday, because he asked me back in school, so I felt so rough, like a terrible parent, like I was just being so mean to him. But I mean, am I wrong for telling him? Am I going that whole diagram that you just put up there? Am I messing it all up by telling him he has like
no choice? What do you think, class?
How old is your son, Candace? 8.
Yeah.
I know, I have a long way to go.
You mean the age of accountability? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
What do you think? Should we raise our children in a, you don't get a choice, you're just going to do it this way or else?
I grew up in a Mormon family. I'm the second of five kids. And I think, Candace, please, I think that's kind of lying to your kid.
Right.
But also, like, I remember my parents always gave us a choice. And we learned that through, like, since primary. We knew that. And we knew that our good choice, Heavenly Father, because of our good choice, Heavenly Father was going to be pleased with us. And if not, we were going to have our consequences. Mm-hmm. So I think... this is something that you might like to explain to your kid. Like, this is everything, every decision has an internal consequence, whether it's good or it's bad. I don't know. Like, I'm not a parent, though. But this is what my parents taught me. Like, every single decision you take, everything has an eternal consequence. So whatever you do, you can receive good. Whatever is not good, you can receive good.
Candace, I totally get to where you're coming from. My oldest son, he's 8. And when he was 5, oh my goodness. And I really did. I wanted to take his agency. But can we really? Because you can say, look, this is how it's going to be. But ultimately, whose choice is it? It's his, right? So when you say he doesn't have agency...
Seems like when I tell him he doesn't have agency, he goes and does it more almost. So it's really weird. Yes.
So, let's go back to the Garden of Eden, all right? Could God have taken their agency and said, all right, you don't have any choice about this?
Well, when you put it that way, then it wouldn't be... There's no point in anything after that. There wouldn't be all of this... wouldn't be any of that. It'd just be, and there'd be no point of him doing it, having Adam and Eve.
So apply that to your son now.
Right.
I'm going to put on the website, it's the super corny seminary video that I want you and your son to watch together.
Okay.
That helps explain, and everybody else. I mean, it's...
But it's good, though.
It's good. I mean, and it's got this kid driving in a Corvette, and it's got some cool music, and it's cheesy. But it teaches the doctrine in a way that I think you and your son will enjoy watching together. So I'll post that. I think I can get to it tomorrow morning to put that up for you.
Thank
promise
you.
Me you'll watch it?
I promise.
All right. And tell us how it goes next week.
Okay.
Okay? Okay.
Homework.
I totally get you, though. Sometimes we just... Stupid kids. I just want to take your agency from you. But that doesn't seem to be the way God treats us. He leaves our agency intact, and it's us. We restrict our own agency. God wants to liberate us to have real agency, but it's us through making bad decisions that limit that. What's it say there? 2:25. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. And as your son learns to express his agency correctly, he too can have joy. But it's our job to help teach him what Marilla was talking about, consequences. Help our kids see consequences. Fashion.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a comment for
Kelly. That was a great question, though. Thank you for asking that, for telling us your situation.
I've done the same thing with my kids too, but also remember, my parents also had a parent that gave me the NCC and I had a parent who gave it away. So, for my example, my parent who let me have the ages, I'll tell you my experience. They will not do this to ever. I had this little imagination when I was like 11 years old that I was Rambo.
Like the guy with the gun?
Yeah.
Okay, for the recording, Fashion thought she was Rambo. They came after you.
They got me alive from head to toe. My dad was laughing at me so bad. And my mom, that was the first time in my life I seen a big woman come to circus acrobat. She went butt naked over the bed out of the jacuzzi and into the tub. And while I'm being stung up alive, I'm laughing.
Did you learn your lesson? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've only got a couple. I wish we could just go. It's 8:10 and we have to wrap things up here. It's because of 2 Nephi chapter 2 that I still believe in God. The God of traditional Christianity that to some extent is angry and vindictive and doesn't allow for a lot of genuine choice, I had a hard time believing in that God. But because of Joseph Smith and what we learn about agency and freedom to choose and consequences and the fall, this is a pretty different version of the fall than you're studying in Catholic studies, aren't you?
Yeah,
it's a lot different. This is true. I bear witness it is true, and it has blessed my life. When you have difficulties with, you know, why does God let things happen? 2 Nephi chapter 2, great place to go. When you have questions of, well, the whole Adam and Eve thing, I mean, how does that... 2 Nephi chapter 2, great place to go. It's some of the best... I studied philosophy for my undergraduate degree. 2 Nephi chapter 2 is the best philosophy I've encountered anywhere. I've read thousands of pages of it. 2 Nephi chapter 2 is great. With the 1 minute that I'm stealing, 2 Nephi chapter 3, great prophecy of the prophet Joseph Smith. That's all I'm going to say about that. If your testimony of the prophet Joseph is weak, 2 Nephi chapter 2 verse 3, look for the prophet Joseph Smith in that chapter. Your testimony will be strengthened. God is good. Thankful to Lehi for teaching his sons these things and for teaching us as well. And I share that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see. Brett, Marilla, will you offer the closing prayer for us? Thank you. I'll have the recording up tomorrow and the video, and I love you guys. Thanks for being here.
And there's food over here.